We turn to Proverbs, five texts, which is going to be sort of our pattern for a while now as we look at different topics in the book of Proverbs. And I remind you that what you're about to hear is the eternally true, trustworthy, inerrant word of the living God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. I won't try to say that five times. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Pray with me, please. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. Last week in my sermon on Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, I challenged us to live coram Deo. Remember that phrase, before the face of God. It means to live your entire life, every moment, every place, every circumstance, every situation, under the conscious awareness of God's presence with us and his knowledge of our every thought and word and action. Well, this week, Ken Quern, a member of our church, reached out to me. He's the middle school and high school band director at Linden Christian School. And he shared with me that every year for the past 7 years, he has been reminding his students to live coram Deo. And he made a big poster of this, and he hangs it in his classroom, and he sent it to me. And so that's what you have in your box, a reduced form of that poster that is before these students' faces all year long. How many students do we have that are in Mr. Q's band? Got there. There's a hand back there. Okay, there's a few. All right. Oh, there's another one. So when you heard this, you knew what he was talking, what I was talking about, didn't you? You were up on that. Well, now, if those students can do that, certainly we can take that on as our challenge to live coram Deo. And I urge you to take this little flyer and use it at home, make it a conversation starter, use it in family devotion or around the meal table. Think about it, talk about it, use it in your own devotions. Coram Deo. Are you willing to begin living more coram Deo, more consciously aware of the presence of God, living as if we were before his face, which really we are? Are you willing to let the book of Proverbs bring you into a deeper awareness of God's wisdom and his will for your life and for your family life? Are you willing to come under the word of God, to submit to it, to come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God as he speaks to us through these incredible words of wisdom that we have received from God? And how about if we start with our tongues? Now, why would we want to start there? Well, it turns out that Proverbs has a lot to say about what we say, about watching our mouth. The subject of our tongue and how we use our words is one of the most major themes in the Proverbs. Over 150 of the Proverbs deal with our lips, our mouth, our tongue, our words. And does that begin to give you something of a clue about what God thinks about our tongues and about our words and how exceedingly important it is to him far more important than we give it credit for or give it thought about. God cares about what comes out of our mouths. Words are powerful. Every one of us here has experienced the power of words. Every one of us here, from youngest to oldest, has said things that we regret, things we wish we could unspeak, that we could take back. And every one of us here has had things said to us that have hurt us deeply and that we wished we had never heard. And we've all been eyewitnesses or ear witnesses to others doing great damage with their tongue. Violent outbursts, terrible displays of anger, out of control tempers, all kinds of words expressed that we've been privy to or observed happening, and what it does to our own hearts and souls when we hear that. There are many, even here this morning, who carry emotional wounds, scars for decades because of words spoken by parents or by siblings or by teachers or spouses, friends, those that we have association with. We all know the power of words. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Now, do you believe that verse? I mean, is that really true, that our words are that powerful, that they have the power of life and death, or the power of blessings and curses? Is this exaggeration? Is this hyperbole? And if it is true, why don't we tremble before such a word from the Lord when we all wield such a powerful sword that it can kill and destroy and heal and help? Who knew that this whole business of talking was such serious business? Every word that you and I have spoken this last week falls either into the category of life-giving or death-dealing. Now, I know those are very strong words or statements. This is a feature in writing, in literature, when you want to cover a topic and you give the ends, the boundaries, if you will. I'm reminded of this on traveling in subways and all. They will tell you the end points. You may not be going to the ends. You may be going from, you know, here to here, but you know what the whole is. Our words may fall somewhere in that middle range, but they're going to fall on the negative side or the positive side. Every word we speak is either on that continuum of life-giving or death-dealing. James in chapter 3, with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. With the same mouth come blessing and cursing. And in Proverbs 12:18 that we read, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. And then there is the tongue of the wise who brings healing. It's staggering when you think about what the tongue can do, the power it has for good or evil. This little 3-ounce piece of flesh in my mouth, in our mouth, is the world's smallest and the world's largest troublemaker. An uncontrolled tongue is a most deadly force. Now, we all know the playground taunt, right? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many of us said that back when we were 8 years old or whatever? It's not true. It's not biblical. It's not scriptural. It's a false statement. Words do hurt, and we've all been hurt by them, and we've all hurt others with them. And so Solomon, in his great wisdom, understands through all this book of Proverbs, understands how marriages and homes are built or broken, and how friendships are formed or fractured, how churches are strengthened or divided, how careers and reputations are established or ruined by the words people choose to speak. Tongues. This weapon of mass destruction that can tear down and destroy and curse and abuse and slander and put down and gossip and hurt. Or a tree of life, a fountain of life, a healing stream, reconciling people, bringing peace, building up, encouraging, blessing, counseling, saving, healing. Tongues can make marriages sweet and families strong and churches healthy. Listen to these phrases that I'm going to read and feel the power, feel the weight of them, for good or ill. I hate you. I love you. It's all your fault. Good job. You're a failure. You're amazing. You're fired. You're hired. I want a divorce. Will you marry me? You have cancer. You're in full remission. I'm sorry, we did everything we could, but he didn't make it. We're expecting. You feel the weight and the power. Words are never just words. The tongue is never independent from the source, the heart. Speech reveals character, and it is out of our hearts that our mouths speak. Jesus said this in Matthew 12:34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, I looked it up. It's estimated that the average person speaks something between 5,000 and 15,000 words a day. It's a pretty broad range and probably covers most everybody. That multiplied out comes out to somewhere around 120 million to 400 million words in a lifetime. That's a lot of words. That's a lot of giving an account for every word spoken. Now, I'm aware that there are several people here this morning who can't help themselves, but whenever they open their mouths to speak, every time, they betray their homeland. They betray where they're from. Their accent gives them away. There are several here with the Dutch accent. There's a few with a Canadian accent, a couple with Mexican or Asian accents. We have one British accent among us. And maybe my favorite of all, the Southerner, Paul McElroy. Our mouths betray us. They betray our heart's home. Our mouths communicate something about our heart's home and what's in them. So a critical heart produces a critical tongue, and a self-righteous heart produces a judgmental tongue, and a bitter heart produces a cutting tongue. An ungrateful heart produces a grumbling tongue. But a loving heart produces a gracious tongue, and a faithful heart produces a truthful tongue. A peaceful heart produces a reconciling tongue. A trusting heart produces an encouraging tongue. The words that we speak will depend on what's filling our heart. What fills your heart? What are you putting into your heart? What are you filling your heart with? What's coming out of your mouth? Are they like sword thrusts, or are they like healing balm? And what do you want it to be? Do you think about it? Are you aware of it? To husbands and fathers, to wives and mothers, you know that your words have tremendous power to hurt or to help, to speak death or life. I say you don't know how far-reaching your words are or how long they will last in the ears of your spouse or your children, but the truth of it, we all do know from our own experiences. And these are some of the most painful and deepest regrets that I have in life. Words. Words are never just words. Our words don't just communicate. They're not just expressive. They're consequential. They have consequences. They bear fruit. That's the meaning here behind the second part of this proverb. Those who love it will eat its fruits. So what does this mean? Our words have great power, and we will live with the results of what we say. After pointing out the power of words, this proverb reminds us of the consequences, that they don't just affect other people, but they affect us. In our love of talking, in our love of speaking many words, there will be a harvest. Every conversation plants seeds. It will be one direction or the other. Words are never just words. The sins of our tongues, they're so easy to commit. Not a day goes by that we don't sin with our mouths. Which is why this is a good place to start, because it is so pervasive, it's so huge, it's so real and relevant in all of our lives. And now we live in a day and age when it just seems to be exacerbated, just exploding. Our current culture and our social media have made it easier than ever to sin with our words. Social media is full of sarcasm and ridicule and mocking and biting and instant reactions and outrage. And the anonymity of it all encourages people to say things they would never say to someone face to face. Everyone is now free to express every thought. A little tangent, quick piece of wisdom. Never post anything that you don't attach your name to it. That will help guard your heart and your words. But Proverbs is teaching us this, the wisdom of guarding the tongue, of silence, of the wisdom of being slow to speak, the wisdom of being slow to anger, the wisdom of being quick to listen. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A gentle, gracious tongue is healing, an evil tongue is wounding. Wise people say words that give life because they fear God and they love God and His word, while fools use their tongues to wound, to deceive, to destroy. What's on your tongue? Are you better at affirming or criticizing? Is the Spirit convicting? Is the Spirit moving? This here's a beautiful image of what a tongue can and should be like, and the blessing that it can give. A tree of life. When there is grace in the heart, it comes out in words of healing and helping. Life-giving words. So what are we to do? How do we get control of this powerful force? Well, I want to guard against moralism, against try harder to be better and do better. I want to start with the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for our tongues, to cleanse our lips. Remember Isaiah in Isaiah 6 when he has that vision of the Lord high and lifted up, holy and righteous, and he is undone in that moment. It says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the Lord. And when he says that he's a man of unclean lips, he is really including in that his heart exposed before this holy God. And what happens? A seraphim takes a burning coal from the altar and comes to him and touches his lips and says, "Your sin is atoned for." Jesus has done that for all who acknowledge their sin and repent and say, "Woe is me, I am a person of unclean lips." Jesus bore on the cross the judgment for every one of our words, the judgment that each one of our words deserves. Our lies, our gossip, our slander, our exaggeration, our unkindness, our words spoken in anger, our words meant to wound. Jesus died for our sinful lips and our sinful words. And he doesn't just leave it at that. And this is a problem. We stop short here. We all acknowledge that we have sinned with our lips. We all know what those are. We ask forgiveness. But it doesn't stop there. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ does more than forgive sinful speech. He gives us a new heart. As we abide in him, this poisoned spring inside us is gradually purified. And by his Spirit, our words increasingly become a fountain of life, a tree of life, a testimony to the presence and power that is in our hearts. A renewed tongue is evidence of a renewed heart. And the gospel changes speech because it changes hearts. This is why Proverbs does not merely tell us to watch our words. It calls us to become wise people whose hearts have been shaped by the fear of the Lord and by the love of the Lord. So how do we control this superpower that we have? Proverbs 16:32 says, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Better is he who is slow to anger than the strongest general with the strongest army. He who rules his spirit, stronger than the one who can conquer a city. Whoever is able to control their tongue is stronger than the strongest guy at the gym. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power is in you and me. That same power is in us to change our hearts and enable us to control our tongue, to control our speech, to control our anger. We have this Spirit, and that means we have this superpower. Can you imagine kids bragging on the playground like they do when they're little? "My dad is so strong, he could pick up this swing set with one hand." "Oh yeah? Well, my dad is so strong that he can think a hurtful word or a harmful thought and not say it." Who brags like that? Now, none of this is natural for us. Our default mode is to be slow to listen and quick to speak and quick to anger. And so we must pray for this grace to work in our hearts, to change our hearts, and then change our words. I've been urging us to pray, to read the Proverbs, read the chapter that goes with the day of the week. So today, read Proverbs chapter 2. But I want to add to that, as you read the Proverbs, to pray the Proverbs. Take them to heart. Pray the text of Scripture. So pray Proverbs 18:21. "Lord, I believe what you say about the power of life and death, and I don't want to speak death anymore. Change my heart." In Proverbs 10:11 and 12:18, "Lord, make my mouth less like a sword and more like a fountain of life." And Proverbs 4:23, "Lord, guard my heart with all vigilance, because I know that from it flows the springs of life." Pray 15:28 and 16:23. Lord, give me a righteous heart that I might be wise. Pray the Proverbs. Pray these for your tongue. Oh, that we would be more earnest in asking God to purify our hearts and our lips, that by His Spirit He would sanctify us inside and out, that He would redeem our hearts and our tongues and save them and deliver them from evil. Live coram Deo. And to live coram Deo is to have a clear sense of our inability and our utter dependence on the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. So no pride here, no self-satisfaction, no self-righteousness. Walk humbly before God, conscious of our shortcomings and what God has accomplished for us and will do for us. So as you go out this week, take this awareness, take this consciousness with you. Be aware of when somebody is listening to you, what conclusions will they come to about the condition of your heart? Do my words refresh like a fountain, or do they leave others discouraged or wounded? And where am I most tempted to misuse my tongue? Sadly, it's usually with those we love the most at home. Is there someone who needs a word of encouragement, an apology, a forgiveness, a speaking the truth in love? And will we check ourselves before we speak or text or email or post as to whether or not these words are true or loving or pleasing to the Lord? I leave you again with those words from Paul, Ephesians 4, that we heard earlier. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as is fitting to the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Live and speak coram Deo. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for sending your Son, the one who perfectly walked his talk and talked his walk, and gave us an example to follow. Would you nourish us and our faith? Give us what we need to live as Christ, and impress on our hearts and minds a deeper sense of your omnipresence, that you really are right here with us all the time. Come, Holy Spirit, create in us clean and wise hearts. And this we ask for the sake of Jesus. Amen. invite you now to a time of fellowship downstairs, and then this evening, 6 o'clock, to hear a great report from Ray and Angie DeLange. And now, receive God's blessing. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, and the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that whatever you do or say, in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God our Father through him. Amen and amen.